Today's daf is Masechet Zivachim. We're holding on daf Chet, and we already made some progress here on daf Chet. And let's just review once again. What we saw in the Mishnah was that there are two separate psulim. One is a machshava of Hutzu Nekomo, and that is pig. We call it pigol, but here in the Mishnah we call it posel, in contrast to real pigol, because it's posel ve'in bo karet. And we have a machshava chutz zmano, which is called technically pigol, ve'yesh bo karet, meaning that any bosser that would be eaten from such a carbon would be usher with an iser karet. In both of those cases, we said that in order for the pigol to be chal, or the psul of chutz mekomo to be chal, there would need to be a machshava during the time of one of the four avodot, shchita, kabbalah, halacha, or zrika, to do one of the following. Either to eat human consumption, something that's roy for human consumption, either for zman or chutz mekomo, as the case may be, or to be maktir, mizbeach consumption. And it had to be separate, we saw in the Gemara. There was at least it was a machlokes. But normatively, we assume that you're only going to be chayev for eating something that is human consumption and being makter something that is mizbeach consumption. The one thorn that was in all of this, that, by the way, it's a moshel, alya v'kotzva. And alya is delicious, but has a thorn in it. In this case, the thorn in the Mishnah is the alya, because the Mishnah talks about or ha'alya. And the or ha'alya doesn't make any sense. What exactly is the, how can you have a machshava to eat a kizayis from the or ha'alya if the alya is something which goes under the mizbeach? And therefore, you can't eat it and be pigol. You'd have to be makrib to be pigol. And that got us into a whole discussion of the nature of the or ha'alya. So our initial assumption was that the or ha'alya had a din of the alya, and therefore the Mishnah didn't make any sense because it was thinking a machshavas achilas odam of something that was roi for the mizbeach. So we didn't know what to do about this. One approach was Shmuel's approach. Maybe it's going according to the Maan D'Omer, even though the continuation of the Mishnah that comes immediately afterwards is clearly not assuming this. But maybe this part of the Mishnah believes that it doesn't matter, and that's the whole point. You can be mechashiv from achilas mizbeach to achivat adam. Aye, the next part of the Mishnah says it has to be a dovar roi le'achol, or has to be a dovar roi le'achtir separately. That's the Rabbanim. The first part of the Mishnah was going a little bit of Eliezer. Second part was going a little bit of Rabbanim, a little problematic, but such more, I don't see any option. That's what we're going to have to learn. Ravuna says, look, this is a simple explanation. Forget about your assumption that Or Ha'alya is Kalya Adami. Apparently, the Or Ha'alya is not Kalya Adami. Where would I come up with such a thing? From the fact that when the Torah describes the Alya, it says Chelbo Ha'alya Tmima. So including the Alya in the Emurim, I mean, obviously it's Chelev. I mean, all the Emurim are considered to be the Chelbo of the Behemah. Chelbo Ha'alya Tmima seems to be saying only the content that would be the best of it, and not the skins, even though the skin happens to be that the skin of the alya is very, very soft, and therefore it's edible. But the Torah says, no, it's not like the alya. There's the chelev of the alya, and there's the or of the alya. Ravuna's approach. And then we had Rav Chisda's approach. Who the heck says it's talking about the kind of alya that we brought on the mizbeach? Maybe it's talking about an alya of a animal, like a gedi, that it doesn't really technically have an alya, but it's got a tail, you know, so we're calling that area the alya, and that's referring to other behemoths, says the Gemara. So then what would be the chiddush? The only chiddush would be that the skin would be considered to be edible, but that's a Mishnah chulin. So what are you coming to tell me that that is the chiddush of our Mishnah? Says Rav Chisda, yes, because since we're talking about a year of Achilas Kachim, and Achilas Kachim specifically has to be quality Achila, So I would have thought this is not considered to be Achilat Adam when it comes to the parasha of Achilat Kodashim. We're talking about edible, not specifically the finest edible. Okay, those were the three approaches. Yesterday the Gemara said, look, there's reasons why you wouldn't want any particular one of these approaches, because who wants to hold that a Mishnah is half the Chachom, half the Belezer? So I wouldn't want to say like Shmuel. I may not want to say like Ravuna, because, I mean, after all, I don't agree that Chelbo Hayat Mima is a definition of Chelev versus Or. And as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, I mean, the whole story of Rav Chisda doesn't seem to be telling us very much as a Chiddush here in the Mishnah where I talk about it directly. So Mamela, I understand now where we each one would have their approach. And that brought us up to three lines down from the middle of the page. We're up to the word Meisve at the end of the line. Meisve. Ashochet et ha'ola, lahakir kizayit, mi'or shetachat ha'oya. I'm going to bring you another location where we isolate the din of or ha'oya, and where I want to be medayik, which one of these approaches is correct when we apply it here. Somebody shechs a korban oila, this is a braita, and he does this, now remember that the oila is very unique, because it does not have achilat adam. So you would have to therefore have a machshava of haktara, even on the basar, as opposed to other carbon of the basar is eaten. So therefore, somebody shechs the carbon ola, lahaktir kizayit mi'or shetachat ha'alya, as opposed to our mission, we talked about eating, over here it talks about haktara. But of course that makes, because we're talking about an ola, right? So you're going to be machtir a kizayit of or from tachat ha'alya, chutz lemikomo, pasul vein bo karet, chutz zmano, pigul, v'chayavin alav karet. Elazar ben Yehuda, ish avelim omer, mishum rabbi Yaakov, v'chen haya rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, ish kvar ikus omer, mishum rabbi Shimon. Actually, this should be expanded to include all soft areas where the skin is given the same din as the actual flesh, and that would be based on the Mishnah in Chulin. Therefore, we ought to add to our discussion here in the Tosefta the questions of various pieces, and there's a long list of different things, but it leaves out the different types of soft skin. So therefore, I would say that echad, you need to add, or beta parasot of a behimadaka, the lower level of the leg of the small animals, sheep, goats, where over there, there's a part where at the end of the muscle, the skin continues downward up until the point where it splits now into the toe-like, the nail-like end. That's just skin that covers the bone, basically. And it's very, very soft. And that's considered to be flesh, not skin. And therefore, it is royal actara. Ve'echot or harosh shel egel harach. During the first year following birth, the skin on the head of the young calf is also edible. That's considered to be basar. Ve'echot or shetachat ha'alya. And also the skin, which is the under part of the alya, which is what we're referring to, or ha'alya. As a matter of fact, ve'chol shemanu chachamim gabei tum'ah. And anything else that was listed in the Sugya and Chulin, where it mentions Elu Orotehen Kivisaran, so the following skins are considered to be the equivalent of the Basar, which would include also Lavi Or Shel Beit HaBoshet, which would include the vaginal flesh of a female animal, which is also very soft. The din of all of the above would be Chutz L'Mekomo Pasul V'Ein Bo Karet, Chutz Zmano V'Pigul V'Chayavin Alav Karet. Now, question is, why talk about an ola? Why are we bringing this bedafk in the context of an ola? You're saying ola in avo zevach lo. It's only because we're dealing with an ola, we could say that that's considered to be possible. But a normal zevach, if one would have had a machsheves chutzuzman or chutzul mekomo, to be maktir the or ha'alya, it would not be considered to be pigel or possible for chutzul mekomo. So now, okay, I understand. The only one, the above pirushim, now that makes sense? Between Shmuel's approach, Chista's approach, Rav Huna's approach, the only one that makes sense is Rav Huna, because he's the only one who said that indeed, Tzibishon Rav Huna, Zdavka, the Oila, because according to Rav Huna, he said that it's only the part of the Alya which is Chelbo Alya Tmima, but the Or of the Alya is indeed not brought on the Mizbeah. So since it's an Oila, therefore I bring even the Or Alya. But if it had been, because I bring meat, and it's considered to be meat. But if I were speaking of a Shlomim, let's say, this would not be valid. Why would it not be valid? Because I wouldn't be putting it on the Mizbeah. So how could I have a Machshava to be mocked or something that's not roy for the Mizbeah anyway? On Oila, we bring the meat on the Mizbeah, but not the skin. So this is considered to be meat, but it's not considered to be a murim. Who held that? Only Rav Huna. Everyone else said, if you hold the Or Halya iske Alya, and the Alya iske murim, so then why would I need to talk about an Oila? Every animal that has an Alya is the Alya is brought on the Mizbeah. Because of a murim, not because it's basar, but because it's chelba, it includes the Or. It's only Rav Huna who says Chelbo is to be distinguished from the Or. So we seem to have clear proof over here that Rav Huna is the only correct one of the above three. According to Rav Chista, what are you going to talking about Oila? You could have spoken about anything. My Ari that's only Oila. Just talk about any Behema, whatever it is, forever, whatever carbon it is. Litnei Zevach. Omelecha Rav Chista, well, okay. Maybe over here it's not same thing I said about our mission. Maybe it's talking about the Aliyah of the Gedi. I told you it doesn't have to be speaking of the word Aliyah doesn't necessarily mean the fat tail. It could be referring to the tail. Or, you know what? Change the word Aliyah. It doesn't mean necessarily Aliyah. It could have been done. You could have used the word Zevach. The truth is it would be very difficult for an Aliyah to have vaginal flesh, I gotta tell you. Considering that an Aliyah is only a Zohar. So of course we mean that is meant to include the equivalent for other Zvach. Good. Okay. So we have three possible approaches to our Mishnah with the Aliyah Vakutza. Pasul v'in bo kare. Now I think before we're gonna do this marvelous, very, very fundamental sugya, let's get the committee together on this one, because I think they're all gonna like it. And we should pass over the Chumashim and take a look inside. So we're gonna look at two sugyas today. One of them is in Parashat Tzav, which is Parak Zayin in Pasuk Yuchet. And there we are talking about, as we mentioned many times, the Shalomim, as defined in Parashat Tzav, becomes now the makor of many, many of the dinim, and everything else is learned out of Shalom. Here in the Parsha of Shalomim, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, V'hanotar mipsar hazovah bayom ha-shelishi ba'eshi sarev. A Shalomim is eaten for 2 days, with the night in between, and therefore on the third day, anything left over should be burned in fire. The iman here is the crucial pasuk, and this is the pasuk that is always referred to in all of the midrashim and wherever there's a detailed discussion of Hegel, Chutz Mano and Chutz Mekomo. This is the pasuk that is called the long pasuk, Kraha Aroch, to distinguish it from the pasuk that we're going to see in a moment in Kedoshim Tiyu, which is sort of a toss-off line. So it continues on to say, the im he achol ye achel mi besar zevach shelamad bayom hashelishi lo ye rate. Hamakrivoto lo yechashevlo. Pigul yihye ve'hanefesh ha'ochelet bimenu avonat tis'ah. So, what it seems to be saying, if you have no literary sense at all, and have not been taught to be at all sensitive to what a word in the Torah means, so you read this in the King James Version of your total Amoret as, so hanotar mimenu bayom ha'shlishi, it should be burned, but if you eat it bayom ha'shlishi, then lo yeratzeh, this whole sacrifice is worthless, and you got to throw it out. And hamakrivato, and somebody who would bring this up, a kohen who brings up a korban like that, lo yechashevlo, he should not be a kohen anymore. He's worthless. And this is piguli vanefesh ochelet bimeno, somebody who eats that meat on the third day, avonah tisa, he will carry his iniquity, which is always a reference we learn out of an oven, as we'll see from Notar and Kedoshim Tiyu, that is a reference to a yukaret of avonah tisa. That is the naive reading of this. The reason it's naive is because, first of all, anyone with sensitivity will wonder why say he'achol ye'achel, what the meaning of that double language. But more importantly, what does it mean to say lo ye'ratzeh? How in the world could a korban that was brought 3 days ago and was completely kosher suddenly become a non-kosher korban when there was never any need, based on all of the understandings of all the other people, to bring the korban in reality, because it was only the dam that was important, vanina tativ lachem lechaper, and so on and so forth. That's already done. What does it mean to say? How could you retroactively undo the value of the korban? So it doesn't even make any sense. Furthermore, what is the meaning of lo yechashev? How could it be the makriv? It's a lo yechashev lo. And then what is the sense of saying pigul yeh? You already said that the meat is what's wrong. It's called notar, v'anotar mitar azeva. So the pigul yeh can't be referring to that meat anyway. If the isser over here is notar, why would I say pigul yeh? I don't need something to turn it into a inedible supplement. So therefore, we need to understand that the pasuk is referring to a virtual notar. So that ime achol yeachel, note lo yechashev lo. This will will not be considered to be a conscious act of akrava. So that, not only as hanotar mitzar zevach hashami, beyom ha-shlishi be-shizarev, but bringing a korban with this type of intent is not considered to be a korban which suits the conscious needs of a korban, and therefore is lo yeratzeh at the time of bringing the korban, not subsequently. Now is when I have this machshav, so that I can either have real notar, or I can have virtual notar. That is to say, I'm thinking about this being notar, so to speak. It'll be chutz lizmano, bayom ha-shalishi. Now, each one of these words, obviously, is going to have to be meaningful in that context, and that is what we're going to be looking at today. However, we cannot understand this pasuk without seeing what appears to be in a, huh. And then I'll get the questioning look, what, me? Surely, you can't be referring to me. Just because I'm sitting near Richie's seat, that doesn't mean that it has any impact. So therefore, we should look also in Kedoshim to you and move on to Perek Yutet. I cannot tell you how much it bothers me to use that numbering since it's all nonsense, but okay. Perek Yutet, and let's take a look at the fifth pasuk in Perek Yutet. You're going to bring a korban of a shlamim to the Lord, Kedoshim to you. You shall bring it to your own ratzon. Well, we're not going to deal with that today. B'yom zivchachem yachelim imahorat. It shall be eaten on the day that you bring it and the next day. V'yanotarat yom ha-shilishi ba'eshi zarev. So for everything made sense, sounds very parallel to what we learned in Parshat Tzav. And this is now what is coming is called the krozuta, the short part. V'im he'achol ye'achel ba'yom ha-shilishi pigul hu lo ye'ratzeh. Leaves out the whole other part about the lo yechashev, the second section of the that we had before, which is hamakrivoto lo yechashev igul yiyeh lo yeratzeh, and then it says v'ochalav avono yisa, which parallels the idea of avonat yisa. Except that over here it becomes a little bit more clear because avono yisa is explained ki et kodesh Hashem chilel v'nichreta nefesh hayimei ameha. So now we know avon in this context is a reference to Nichrata Nefeshayim. So that is what is the famous Avon Avon, the Hekesh of Avonot Isa, which we have before in Tzav, to the Avonot Isa here, which is explained as meaning the Nichrata. Okay, so now that we have the unit clear, let us start listening to what the Gemara is going to do with analyzing the interrelationship of these two sukkim, which ultimately should open up the sugya as to why there are two completely different elements. This is our problem. How do we know that there are two different elements, one of which is a violation of the space constraint, the matzot hamakom of the carbon, the other is a violation of the time constraint, which is called matzot hazman. And why is there a difference? How do we know there's a difference between them? That in one case, zman, it causes a tiyakaret, and in the other case, makom, it's not a tiyakaret, it's a tool in the carbon. Now, all of that is included in the words minan immediately. How do we know all of that? Omar Shmuel, so getting back now to the Gemara, Omar Shmuel. There's really two psukim, and one of those psukim defines chuzos baro, and one defines chuzos makomo. Now, he doesn't do very much of explaining of what he means when there's two psukim. So what is he talking about? Mai Omar, Rabba, I shall explain it. Let's take a look at that opening pasuk, the kra, that is the kra, the long pasuk of Rabba, and there it says, Ime achoya hel bayom mitzar zavak shalamav bayom ha-shalishi. That word shalishi refers to chuzos baro. It's a virtual shlishi. Now, it's going to take us a couple of days to make all of the diyukim of the pasuk. So as usual, we don't do everything at once. We're going to see why we believe that it can't be referring to actually the notar, but we've already understood that ourselves, because there's no way that you could have said lo yerateh on a carbon that was already long done. Okay, so it's referring to some type of conscious problem. That's a lo yechashev issue. So it's an element of conscious. Therefore, we're talking about a virtual chutzlis mano. There was no need to throw in the words at the end of all of that. You say already lo yerateh. Then you say, you add, hamakrivoto lo yechashev lo pigul yihyeh. So then the pigul yihyeh, that refers to chutz limekomo. It's adding a new violation of mechitzos. And then when it says, va'anefesh ha'ochelet mimenu, notice that mimenu is a lashon yachid, from one of the above. Which one of the above? That refers to ha'nefesh ha'ochelet mimenu is a reference to chutz lizmano avonot tisa, and it's mamayet chutz limekomo. All of this, of course, is purely arbitrary, and therefore the Gemara is not going to believe it for a moment. How do you know any of that? Okay, so first our question is, you use a word that you're talking about now, a pronoun, where the antecedent isn't clear. How do you say, from it? What's it? There were two things mentioned. You're assuming that the it is the first of the two things. If you eat from it, what's it? Then avonotisa. But if you ate from the other one, which was the one we just had here, piguye, the lo yechashev, that's the rabbos chutzun l'nekomo, that you will not be avonotisa. How do you know that? The ima, why not say just the opposite? The ima nefesh ochelet mimenu, maybe the antecedent of the pronoun here is chutzun l'nekomo. And only chutzun l'nekomo, l'meute chutzun zmano, which in fact you are not chayef correct. Well, I mean, isn't it more reasonable to say that if we're opening with a series, so you have A and B, and then you say from it, that you would be referring back to the opening of the series, because that was the subject. That was the beginning of the subject. So if we started with that, so potach be, then that would be the antecedent. I don't understand. An antecedent, by definition, means that which comes right before. So if you have a series, then the one that you're referring to should be the most recent mention. Now, you said the most recent mention was Chutzul Mekomo. So it says Mimbenu, it's referring to that which we just discussed, namely Chutzul Mekomo. So Dafka Chutzul Mekomo is a Chiyuv Karet, and not Chutzul Zmano. What's wrong with that? So Adarabah, I would say Chutzul Mekomo is Adif to Somekle. Since, by definition, we're looking for that which it's close to, as a reference, and it doesn't say anything about the thing itself. It's nameless. It's just a pronoun. It's most reasonable that that which is closest is what it's referring to. All right, so forget it. This, you're right. This pasuk is never going to tell us the information that we need. We're going to have to move on. Omar Abaye Kiyata of Yitzhak Vedimi, he said in the name of Rav that actually this entire analysis is relying on a braita that Shmuel was assuming that we knew, and that is the following. How about that pasuk that seems to parallel this pasuk and talks about Ime Acho Yeachel Bayom Ashelishi, and that is saying the same thing. So that what's the Heachol Yeachel there? That is Shein Tamad Lomar. I mean, there's no point in saying that now, is it? You never should have said that. Sharei Kvar Ne'amar. I mean, it already said that back in Tzav. It said Beferush Ime Acho Yeachel Mipsar Zevach Shelamav. Now, what's the meaning of repeating the whole Suya for God's sake? It could only be to tell me that we should expand these violations of Mechitzot from the obvious violation of Haim to include space. So, in Eino Inyan L'chutzes Mano, Tzneo L'Inyan Chutz L'Mekomo. So this is now coming to tell me the din of Chutz L'Mekomo. Now, again, let's take a look at it from the point of view of sensitivity, okay? Take a look in Kedoshim to you, and let's try to find our own literary sense of what's going on. In Kedoshim to you, there's a very, very strong, of course, nothing at all. It's that I like you so much, that's all. It's such a beautiful jacket. I can't help it. So there, it says in the prior post, the Vayom Zivchachem Yeachel Yimachorat Vanotar Ad Yom Hashem. Now, all of this comes in the context of the Hanotar. All of this seems to be a reference to the actual parts of the Zevach, of the Shlomi, that have been left over until the third day. And here, in the third passage, could very well be a reference to one who eats the actual notar will be chayev karet. Nothing to do with a machshava of virtual notar of imei acho yeachel. So what we're trying to say now is that the pasuk imei acho yeachel is a toss-off line to say, and by the way, not only, I'm sure you recall back in Tzav we were talking about the same words, imei acho yeachel, and over there we meant a new concept of something which is a virtual notar, but only ochlav avono yisa, meaning only one who eats the true notar that I mentioned earlier. But not one who would eat the virtual. old Nodar, which is what we're calling here the Pigulia. That would be one way of reading the pasuk. You would see this as an interruption. And by the way, you remember, and of course I always do this by reconstructing word by word, something that rings in your mind. That's what poetry always does. So now, you remember, wow, that's like, that goes straight to the heart. Why, that was the whole sugya that we had about violations of mechitzes. Yes, it's true that there is such a thing, lo yeratzeh, but as far as eating, and the chiyav of karet, that's only the real thing. Only notar, there you're a chiyav of karet, but not on this virtual. That's the simple way of understanding a toss-off line in the middle of Kedoshim, where we're talking about notar. Now, what we're now saying is that, yes, that's all very nice on the level of the simple meaning. But in terms of the holistic meaning, it's ridiculous, because why would we repeat the dinim of Pigul all over again? It must be that this is coming to tell me a different type of time of mechita violation. And it's not a time mechita, it's a space mechita, and it's coming to be marbachut l'mikomo, which would mean that the contrast is more powerful than we thought. Because although there are other violations of mechitza, virtual violation, this one is not chayef karet. And you're only chayef karet on eating the actual flesh that remained there. Not virtually, but in real life, remained there. That's called notar. Don't remember that we use the word notar as a reference to pigul futuzmano earlier. And I pointed that out. And that's because pigul futuzmano is a virtual notar. Okay, so we have this clear. And that would mean that the second pasuk, would be the second partial kedosh of you, would be a reference to chutli mikomo. And the pasuk that says, and only ochlav avono yizah, is telling me, don't think that there's a chiyuv karet on eating the chutli mikomo, which I'm calling here. That's what we want to say right now. So, and the pasuk continues in the very next pasuk. Gabi notar. Let's talk about real notar. It says va'oklav avano yisah dafka, one who eats it lemayet chutz lemekomo, but not someone who eats the virtual violation, which is chutz lemekomo, as we've seen from the overall context. Huh, wait, why would I say it that way? What now? Again, why would I not say it that way? Because if I'm sensitive, then I think to myself, if we're talking about a sugya of notar, what is more reasonable to talk about virtually in that sugya? Chutz l'mekomo or chutz l'zmano? Obviously, chutz l'zmano. I would want to talk about virtual notar. And then say, the real notar, that's a chiyav karet. The virtual notar, it's no good, but it's not a chiyav karet. But what you're doing is something a little bit weird. You're saying, even though it says it's referring to virtual notar, can't really mean that, because holistically, we know already that we spoke about virtual notar earlier. I mean, I could easily reverse it, couldn't I? I could say, maybe since we have two, and this one is literally coming to contrast the real with the virtual, so let's understand the first one as having been a space violation, this one being a time violation, and it's Gufa coming to tell me that only real notar is a chiyuv karet and not virtual notar. I could have done that too, and the Gemara is going to come and ask that more specifically. Now let's take a look, in order to understand the sugya that's come up, also in the broader context of the interrelation here. There's two different things we need to consider. There are similarities between virtual notar and notar, between pigul and between real things that have left their time constraint. They're now biyom hashlish, right? But there are also things that make chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mekomo similar. I mean, obviously there's something about the connection between notar and chutz l'zmano, but there's a deeper something maybe between chutz l'zmano and chutz l'mekomo. Those are both elements of conscious issue. They're both virtual. They're not real. They're both issues of machshava. So, in a sense, if I want to contrast the two ideas of chutzizmano and chutzomekomo, I ought to contrast them to each other and not contrast them to note. Remember that the way we originally learned it out from Tzad, we said there are two different conscious violations, what we're calling virtual violations, where in your mind you're outside of the correct time or the correct place. And then the antecedent was one of the above, and we're saying, and only on one of them, we're trying to figure out which one. But that makes sense, because, I mean, I would want to put together the virtual things with each other and then decide which one is more effective, rather than put the virtual thing together with the real thing and determine which one is more effective. Maybe. So you could see there's two completely different ways of organizing in our mind these two parshias. And that is exactly the issue that the Gemara is going to explore now. What is more reasonable? Would we put together the real and the actual and the virtual, or would we put together the series of the virtual? And that's what's going to end up determining the measure of the circuit. So now, therefore, the Gemara says, why not say that Ochlav, Ema, Ochlav Avono Yisa refers to Chutz L'Mekomo, and the idea over here would be the other way around? That's my first question. Maybe the Ochlav Avono Yisa, before you want to switch it around and say it's referring to virtual time, you're telling me it's Chutz L'Mekomo. That you're saying holistically. And then when it says Ochlav Avono Yisa, it means only if you eat the time violation reality is it Avono Yisa, not if you eat the virtual pagam of Chutz L'Mekomo. Maybe just the other way around. Maybe Ochlav Avono Yisa refers to what we just spoke about. That is to say, Chutz L'Mekomo. And real notar, you would not be chayef karet. Ulema'uti notar mikaret. Let us now say that there is no chiyev karet on notar, and since the Torah was concerned, because after all, somebody reading this would think, you would say, would think, B'yom zikachem yachem imachorat v'hanotar ad yom ha-shilishi b'eish yisarev. A. B. Ime acho yachem b'yom ha-shilishi, referring to Chutz L'Mekomo. Two things. And then it would say, Avano Yisa, I would say, on either of the two. Comes along the post and say, no, only on one of the two, the Ochlav. One of them and not both of them. Which one of them? The one I just finished with. So you're not helping me, because we still have a series, and now you want to know what is the antecedent in the series. And I'm explaining to you that the antecedent is the violation of Chutz L'Mekomo and not real notar. So, I mean, it's the same thing. There you had a series, and here you have a series. There you had a pronoun, and here you have a pronoun. There you couldn't prove to me what the antecedent of the pronoun was in a series. And here you're not going to be able to prove to me what the antecedent is. So what did you gain by bringing now this extra posik? Maybe on the contrary. Maybe this posik is saying, B'davka, there is cars on Chutz L'Mekomo. Well, that's not reasonable, is it? I mean, isn't it mistaber that true notar should be that where the Avono Yisa is referring to v'nichreta nefesh hayim mi'ameha? Because the end result, once again, let's think about the holistic implication. The words Avono Yisa occurred back in the Posik in Tzah, correct? Lo yechashev lo pigu yiyeh hanefesh ha'ochelet bimenu avonot yisa. And here it says the same language. Hanefesh ochlav avonot yisa. And then it adds v'nichrata nefesh. So that means that the Torah is coming to use that word avon as a key to understanding the meaning of the word avonov yisa. So if the reference over here is to notar, then that means it's comparing notar here, avonov yisa kare, to virtual notar in tzav. Ime acho yachel b'yom ha-shilishi. Ah, that means virtual notar. And it says the same word it says by real notar. So by real notar, avonov yisa meant v'nichrata. And by virtual notar, it's very reasonable that the Torah would want to say, and by the way, the virtual notar is as bad as the real thing. And on both of them, Avono Yitza. Mashenken, you're going to say it's referring to the other antecedent here. So then the Avain is no longer very useful now, is it? Makes far more sense to talk to me about Avain, the Chutz Lizmane. Now the Avain is referring to the virtual notar. After all, the Domile Bizav. The way to remember the similarity between the two. Well, what is the two that we're talking about now? The virtual notar and real notar. They are the same in the sense that they are both Zions, meaning they're both about time, and they're both have no concern for space. And therefore, they would be also applicable in a bays, which is a bama. A bama is a migdash that has no spatial needs. That's the point. So the whole idea of the Beit HaMikdash is hamakom mashiyivchar Hashem. It's all about defining space. The meaning of a bama is wherever. And that is referred to that way in the Torah. Bechol makom asher tireh. That's the point of a bama. Wherever the heck. It has no connection to space. So therefore, these two things, virtual nosar and real nosar, have no concern for space. Therefore, they're applicable to a base, to a bama. And they're entirely involved in time violations, which is the Zion. So therefore, it makes very good sense that the Avon should be now comparing the two Zion bases. And that's the way to remember it.
What is the base?
Boma. They're both applicable in a Boma.
based or design-based?
Yeah. No, design-based. They're both Boma applicable, and they're both time violation. They're both Zion. Well, that's all very nice, but, I mean, you could say it the other way around. You could say, if I was right, and the antecedent indeed was referring to Avono, would be referring to a Machshava of Chutzal Mekomo, and then we would say Chutzal Mekomo is Chayef Karev, and then we would say Avon Avon is indeed telling me that the previous parsha in Tzav is also Avono Yisa in terms of Kareh. So you'll say, well, I don't understand what's first. Why would I compare those two? What do you mean, why would I compare those two? They're very similar, aren't they? They're both violations in conscious. They're both virtual. They're both violations of constraints, time-space constraints, but they're both violations of those types of constraints. And the way to remember what they are is not Zav, but they are similar all across the board as if they were a Migdash. So that means they're both men. They're both machshava. They're both just consciousness violation. Furthermore, they're both kufs. Kufs in the sense that they are violations that impact the entire carbon only through ktat of the carbon. So the kuf is the ktat destroys the carbon. Notar doesn't destroy the carbon. Whatever is notar is notar. You have a kezias of notar. That kezias is hard. But over here, if you have a machshava to be makriv a kezias b'chutz, the entire carbon is not is pigul. It's ki of karis. So, I mean, there you're talking about two different things. What you're talking about, if you're telling me that it's a reference to notar, and then I'm going to be learning out, notar is similar to chutz zmano? No way. Notar is a reference to the real thing which was left. Chutz zmano is a machshava, it's only a virtual thing, but it's far more powerful because it makes the whole carbon. So therefore, machshava and ktsat, just a little bit of it. Now, there's another big difference, isn't there? Both of the issues of the virtual violations are violations in the essence of the avoda of the carbon, which is the dam of the carbon. The notar is just a coincidence in a way. It's whatever happened to the bazaar, which is irrelevant anyway to the carbon as a whole. So it's the dalid that unites the two virtual psulim of chutzizmano and chutzulamikoma. They would be far more likely to be interrelated with the ava and avain than relating nosar to the virtual nosar of Yom HaShlishi. That's another reason why I think the antecedent should be the virtual violation, not the real violation in nosar. It's not a violation. It's just what is. And therefore, they're far more similar. Not to mention that both of them are Shlishis. The Torah chose to define these things by using that extra word by Yom HaShlishi. When it comes to notar, notar was already defined before. Whatever is left over. It's a shlomim, then fine. It's a shlomim on Yom HaShlishi. The repetitive shlishi? What's that repetitive shlishi? Only because of virtuality. So since now I need to express a concept of, there's a way to get to the third day without even being there. So in other words, it's talking essentially about a virtual time travel. So then whatever, there's a virtual space travel. I mean, I can accept that. So they're both shlishi issues. Yes. And we're marred by the other one by using the same word. Violation. That's the idea. Shlishi are violation. But the way you're learning it, I mean, it's just sort of accidental. You say, well, it looks sort of, I mean, think about it. It looks sort of the same. The real thing and the machshava of Nosar is really related in some way. It has nothing to do with each other if you look at it from this point of view. So the Migdash would be a reason for the antecedent to be Bedafka, the violation that's virtual, and now connect the two virtual violations with Avain Avain. Not Avain Avain Minosar. Oven, oven from Chutz Lemekomo. Ah! So don't try to give me this stuff. So in other words, we're still left with being unable to know clearly that it's absolutely logical that the antecedent has to be one or the other. I don't know. So now I'm stuck with even now that you tell me I have two psukim, I don't know which one is which anymore. I'm very confused. Okay, there's a new thing that we forgot to take into consideration, which is always introduced with the word Ella. Ella means, okay, but. Ella, Amar of Yochanan, actually, Zavdi Bar Levi was the one who provides the key to this in a bright. Tani Zavdi Bar Levi, we really can only know the answer if we recognize that there's another Gzeres Shavah that we were ignoring, and that is, you took a look in that Doshim Tiyu, did you notice, Ovlava Vano Yizah, and then for some reason, an explanation. Ki et Kodesh Hashem Hilel, Venichrita Nefer, what is this? Ki et Kodesh Hashem Hillel, what's all of that about? Didn't say anything about that before. But the Kodesh Hashem Hillel is another one of those ding ding. They remind you of something I've heard before. That's a Gezerah Shavah. Yet Kodesh Hashem Hillel is because of the words Ve'im Yivater Mi Besar HaMiluim. There it says, the notar ba'esh lo yachel, ki kodesh hu, ki kodesh hu is a reference to boser, that is notar, and you would say, having left its time placement, it's no longer kodesh. No, it's still kodesh.
It is?
Yes, don't you remember the miluim? Ki kodesh hu. Therefore, by doing this, v'nichrata, ki kodesh Hashem Hillel. Now at least those words start to make sense. Since in the primary, it placed in the Torah, where the concept of the Kedusha of the Korban is introduced, which is where? In the story of the Miluim, obviously. Those are the first Korbanot ever brought in the Mishnah. So over there, it explains that this notar is called Kodesh. Ki Kodeshu. Therefore, don't just throw it out. Be'ish tisaref, ki Kodeshu. See, if I tell you, but if you eat it, ki Kodeshu. Kodesh Hashem Tfilel. You gotta be stupid not to understand. So that's a reference to that primary definition of ki Kodesh. Therefore, the Pasuk is telling you what the antecedent is. You don't have to guess. Which one? The one Kikodesh Chilel. That's the Venichrata Nefesh. But the other one, which is not referred to anything that I ever called Kodesh before, which is Pigol Chutz Mekomo, there is no Avanotisa. And that finally gives you the missing piece. That's a great element. So now we have with put together all three pieces of information, and it's all clear. And therefore, malahalan notar, afkan notar. And the pasuk goes out of its way to say, only by the real notar. Miet rachmana gabi notar v'ochulav avano yisa. As opposed to chutz l'mekomo, and chutz l'mekomo is not kareh. Except for one small horrible problem. And that horrible problem, we already introduced the small horrible problem, which is the assumption that the extra pasuk is the chutz l'mekomo, and the primal pasuk was the chutz l'zmano. But if we take a look at the overall placement, it seems to be more likely that we would try to face off notar with virtual notar in Kedoshim Yiyu. And therefore, that pasuk, the short pasuk, should be the pasuk that's referring to the chutz l'zmano, and imei achol yachel b'yom ha'shlishi would mean really virtual chutz l'zmano, which is notar, and it would be contrasting notar to chutz l'zmano, leaving us with, so what did the pasuk mean back in Tzav? That must be chutz l'mekomo. And over there it says, and that is chayev karet. And then we'd have to reverse everything. So then virtual notar would not be chayev karet, because only ochlav, which is chodesh, which is noser, is avano yisa, which is v'nichrata, as opposed to the other thing mentioned here, which is virtual notar, chutz l'zmano, which is not avano yisa, not a chayev karet. But just in case you think that that's true about chutz l'mekomo back in Tzav, there it says avano yisa Avon, and here it says Avano Yisa Avon. So it teaches me that a space violation indeed is Pigo Chayav Karet, but a time violation has to be real in order to be Chayav Karet. Huh. And of course that undoes everything that you just proved. So ask Gemara, but why did you make that original decision? Umay Chazita, I mean, what was it that you saw? Gosh, I don't know what you're thinking even. That the Kra Aricha, the wrong Pasuk you said, that the long Pasuk has got to be talking about Chutz Manov, and the short Pasuk, the Shmi in the parsha of Kedoshim Tiyu was talking about Chutz l'mekomo. Why not just say it's the opposite? That's great. So Eifuchana, how do I know not to do it in the opposite way? Well, I understand. Isn't it more reasonable to say that the long pasuk is chutz l'zmano, which would then be telling me that avain, avain, indeed, excludes chutz l'mekomo, which doesn't have any relationship to notar, but includes, because of the gezerah shavah, the virtual notar, and that's notar, which is similar to the machshava of chutz l'zmano, as I already said, with zav. They're both time violations. One's a real time violation, one's a virtual time violation. And they're both applicable to Obama because they couldn't care less about space. So, I mean, you have to look at the consequences. The consequences of the way we're learning it now turn out to be beautiful. And, I mean, elegance is always the way to determine what is what we're talking about. When you're talking about theory, you're talking about mathematics, you're talking about physics, elegance is all. So what comes out at the end? We now have Ovine, Ovine, that are telling me, even though I did go out of my way to say, Ochlav, and only Ochlav of Notar of Ono Yisab, But remember that word of Ono Yisav back in Sav. That is just as bad as Notar, because it's virtual Notar. Perfect. Absolutely poetic. So that should be the way we would do it. So, no, because I could say Adarabha. Let's learn the long part of the pasuk back in Sav as referring to Chutz L'Mekomo and the word Yom HaShelishi of Kedoshim Tiyu as Chutz L'Zmano. And then I would say, if you're looking for the consequential comparison of virtual notar to actual notar, that means you're willing to agree with me that it's far more likely that the Torah would put notar and virtual notar together. But if it puts virtual notar together with notar, then it's most likely that it would put it together in the actual presentation, which would mean that the Parsha in Kedoshim Tiyu would first begin talking about notar, then say, and by the way, of course, in your mind, that's just as bad, and then only the real notar. In other words, you can't say that it's elegant when the consequences are elegant, but set it up in an ill-elegant way. If you're gonna be mash of the elegance is the consequence, then you should be more mash of the elegance is the initial setup. So the initial setup is put virtual Noser together with Noser in Kedoshim Tiyu, and leave the extra pasuk back in Sav to be talking about Chutz L'Mekomo. So you can't use, don't use those kind of arguments, Emmy, because they're all based on your own prejudice of consequential elegance being more valuable than this simple reading of the text. Therefore, we got a problem. Comes another Ella. Says Rabbi, throw the whole thing out. Just throw the whole thing out. This is getting way too complicated. I said, let's go back to the original pasuk. Remember we said the original pasuk was itself a bilateral pasuk, and your only problem you had with that was the fact that you couldn't define the answer. I'm going to go take you through it step by step, boys. Hold on to my hands, and we will darshan this pasuk and see every last word. And when you see the way that it works out in detail, you will understand why we assume that it's exactly the way we set it up initially. Let's start at pasuk. Kula mikra aricha at. Let's go back to the long pasuk back in Sav. It starts off im heyalcho yeachel. Now that double language has got to be explained first of all, and you know the explanation of that. What we're talking about is both Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach. You never even explained that before. So let's first talk about that. We said that Pigel is just as meaningful for Hatarah as it is for Achila. So even though it says Achol, normally Achol means human consumption, Achol Yeachel includes the Mizbeach. So Echad Achilat Adam, Echad Achilat Mizbeach. All right? Then it goes on to say, Mibesar Zevach Shelamav. Why use the Shlomim? I mean, we're talking about a Shlomim. Why stress that we're using the Shlomim as a model? Very important stress. Because what is important about a Shlomim is that it always has two components. It has a Mifagel and it has a Mitfagel. We spoke about this earlier. So there's the subject that causes the Pigel, and that we said you can do with any of the four Avodot in the Dan. But then there's that which becomes Pigel. That which becomes Pigel is that which your Machshava was Matir, put on the Mizbeach, or to eat, or to be Ketum by the Mizbeach, either the Dan. They put on the Mizbeach. They move to put on the Mizbeach. The boss is that the person eats. Your Avodot Adam actually caused those three things to become Mut Boser, Emurim, and the actual Zrik of the Dam. So only those things which are Mifaglim Umifaglim. You'd say, are there not, is that not true of all Korbanot? No. Fascinatingly, there are, in fact, examples of a Korban that you cannot split into a Mifagel and a Mifagel. What do you do if a Kohen brings a Korban? He brings a Korban Minch. The Korban of a Minchas Kohen has no meat. Remember that the Mita of a Mincha, we spoke about before, was the equivalent of the Kabbalah of the Dam. The original Kmitza, then putting into the code. So it's referring to Avodah Saddam. Putting the Kmitza is the Zerita of the Dam. Suppose there is no Mincha. Suppose the Zevach, so to speak, in this case a Mincha, is simply put onto the Mizbeach. Now, something is inconceivable with an animal, but it's exactly what happens with the Mincha's going. You take what he brought to the base of Mincha and you put it on the Mizbeach. Can there be a Pigel then? Can, as you're bringing this thing up to the Mizbeach, you say, I intend to put this on the Mizbeach at a different time, despite the fact you're involved in putting it in now? No, because there are no two components. There's no separate matir. There's no separate Mifagel and Mitfagel. That is learned from the stress on using the model of Shlamav. If it's not like Shlamav, forget about it. Now, then it says, Bayom HaShelishi. Yom HaShelishi, even the casual reader understands that that is a reference to a time violation. Of course, Lizman. It's the third day. That's what it says. Simple meaning. Lo yeratzeh. That language of yeratzeh. That tells me something very important, which we've spoken about also many times. It says, lo yeratzeh hamakriv oto. So that means this zrika is not merata, but everything else about it was merata. And therefore, what it tells us is that there's an alternative reality to the real reality. So just like there's a virtual machshava, that virtual machshava enters into a virtual reality in which everything needs to be done perfectly well in order to screw things up. You can't screw things up if you're not going to do it right. We see this at all the time. It takes a real bug screwing up properly. Most people just make a mess. Yeah, but making a mess is not really screwing up.
So,
exactly. So, therefore, the idea over here is that if this and only this is the problem, hamakriv oto in this fashion, lo yerata, fine. But if you're just a jerk and you did other things wrong, then that's not going to be people. It's so lousy that it's not even worth being it. So in other words, the carbon has to be an excellent carbon that you push aside into a different virtual reality, time one. But if anyway it's a junky carbon, what difference would it do? So if you posseled it by using small or whatever, so then you posseled it already. Even if afterwards you posseled, by the time of the Zrika, you didn't do the Ritzri properly, so then that's not Pigel. And that is called Kaharza'at Kasher, Kaharza'at Pasul. Whatever makes a carbon kosher, to make it right, has to be exactly as good in order to make it wrong. So Mahar Tzad Kasher, At Yakrivo, Ko Matirav, everything has to be done in a way that is matir, so too, Afhar Tzad Pasul, At Shiar Krivo, Ko Matirav, everything had to be brought behechsha in order for it to be Chayav Har. You're not Chayav Karas the moment you had a Makshev Spiegel, unless all of the Avodas Hadam was done properly. That's what Mahar, that was necessary. Okay, then it goes on to say, Hamakriv Oto, only the Makriv Oto, Bahakrava, who nifs. So when it says that what you're talking about over here is a tool, it's only where you're talking about the makriv. In other words, it's teaching us that we're talking about the makshava. So where we say the makriv, you were mechashev at the time that you're doing the hakrava, then it's possible. But not if it's already been mukrav, and now you're going to leave it over till the third day and so on. That wouldn't affect anything. So only bakrava nifsal. He's not going to be nifsal with real shlishi. So if you really ate it beyond the shlishi, who cares? That doesn't impact the carbon. It doesn't go back into the past to change anything. It's only as you're bringing the carbon, then you virtually ate it beyond the shlishi. That's the point. Otherwise, why stress hamakrivoto? Oto means oto, what is the object? Hamakriv oto lo yekasher. Remember the naive reading of the pasuk was hamakriv lo yekasher. A kohen who does that, he's called the makriv. There's what you're being makriv, and then there's who's doing the makriv. If it would have said hamakriv lo yekasher, I would have said a man like that to bring the karbanot of the Lord, lo yekasher is no longer called a kohen. He doesn't do things right. Throw him out. Therefore, it's the makriv oto in order to stress the object of the hakrava lo yekasher, not the makriv lo yekasher. So that means it's the bezevach hakatum medaber. The inu medaber b'kohen. We're not talking about the kohen is bringing the zevach. Lo yekasher also means lo yearev bo machshavot acherot. You might have thought from the first part of the pasuk where we said kehartzaat kasher kehartzaat pasul. That's only vis-a-vis the actual work on the carbon. But since, after all, I've already entered a virtual phony reality here, in which we could talk about the violation of Haim, maybe I could add further violations. A violation of Shelo Lishmo on a Pesach, on a Chatas, a violation of Chutz L'Mekomo on any Korban. I'm already talking about Chutz L'Zmano. No, even that cannot have occurred. It has to be only this violation, even virtual violation. So therefore, it had to be Kartza'at Kasher entirely, using the right Kohen with the right Gudding with the right hand and with the right machava. No, exactly. Then piguliya. Now, this piguliya is additional. That's got to be referring to something else, because it already said lo yechashev. So this piguliya is a reference to an additional psul of chutz l'nekomo and yihiyeh. Being as we're now, even though we've spoken about two different kinds of violations, the Torah puts them together as one existential thing. Yihiyeh. That teaches you that a chatzi zayit of makshevis chutz l'mekomo can be put together with a different violation of chutz l'zmano, and between the two they will passel the carbon. So if you have in mind, let's say, to eat a half a zayis on the third day, and I have Isaiah in the wrong place on the right day. So you have violated space-time in a Isaiah. That's what's important. We don't care about the fact that it's not all one kind of violation. The too much, obviously, they're not going to cause karet, because we already said it has to be completely pigled to be karet. But they will be mitzarif to pass. She mitzarfim ze im ze. V'hanefesh al chelet mimenu is only one of the above. Echad veloshnayim. Which one is that echad? That echad has got to be referring to chutz l'zmana, because the mekor of the karet is the fact that it says avon. But avon, being referring to notar, is stressing a time violation, and therefore, since it stresses the way in which these two things are interrelated, it's telling you which is the yadzidin. The one that is similar to notar, that is to say, it's a virtual time violation, where as opposed to notar. So we'll end both of them in the same. Avon, avon, midotar, the domile bizav. Now, of course, we've got a lot of things. No, we don't have the same problem, because now we're not using the setup. We're using the fact that the lashon of the avon is now a gilui of what the antecedent was. We never had reached that stage ever before. That if you have two possibilities, both of which are virtual, and now you're having one of them being compared to Nosar, which virtual thing is going to be compared to Nosar? Obviously, for Zuzmano, that doesn't change. You have no taina now about the comparison. We never had that before. What he's doing is he's using the oven to select which one of the virtual psulim. Okay, I'd love to go on, guys, but we'll unfortunately have to end this. It's very sad. Hashochet et hazevach lizrok tamo b'chutz, umiktzat tamo b'chutz, laktir emurav b'chutz, umiktzat emurav b'chutz, lechol b'sorov b'chutz, o kizayit mi b'sorov b'chutz, o lechol kizayit mi ora alio b'chutz, posov ein bo karet, lizrok tamo l'machar, miktzat tamo l'machar, laktir emurav l'machar, miktzat emurav l'machar, lechol b'sara l'machar, o kizayit mi b'sorov l'machar, or even lechol kizayit mi ora alia l'machar, pigo v'chayav en alf karet. Now we originally thought that or ha'aliyah is kaliyah dami, in which case we have a real problem, because you're mechashav achilat mizbeach la'achilat adam. Omar Shmuel Amani Rabbi Eliezer, Dabar mechashvim mi'achilat mizbeach la'achilat adam, u'mi'achilat adam la'achilat mizbeach. It's not ha'shochet et hazevach l'chol davar shein da'kol l'chol aktir, davar shein da'kol l'aktir kosher, v'Rabbi Eliezer posel. Oh, so now b'mayu kim tekrib Eliezer, ima seifa. Zeh ha'klau kol ha'shochet v'amekabel v'amolik v'azorek. Lechol davar shedar kol lechol aktir davar shedar kol aktir. Excuse me, davar shedar kol lechol, and only that. Shein dar kol lechol lo. That's dafka the rabbanan. Are you trying to tell me Reish Reb Eliezer is ever rabbanan? Yep. Revuna Omer, or al yalafka yadami. Omer Rav my time. Revuna chelbo al yatmima velo or al yah. Rav Chista Omer liolam or al yake al yadami. It's very simple. We're talking about an aliyah of a gedi, which is not put on the mizbeah. Now, kula kishmuel amri, who wants to say reish Reb Eliezer say for rabbanon, no mukbi. Obviously, we're not going to say like Ravuna, because or aliyah ke aliyah dami. That's kamashmo, not the way he's medayim. Kerev chista, my time lo amri, because my kamashmo, or aliyah ke aliyah dami. Tanina ve'elo shorotem kivisoran, or shetachat aliyah. Rav Chista gets out of that by saying, so then it's mitzvah. But achafrei achilas kachim emel amoshcha, which means legidula, gederach malachim ochlim, and certainly law of eating malachim da'achleachi emelo kamashmala meitve. Hashochet et haola laktir kizayit miorshet tachat aliyah chutz b'kom uposvein b'kor chutz zbanu pigul v'chayim en alayah karet. Elazar ben Yudi Shavei Limom Ramishom Rabbi Yaakov V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon Ben Yuda Yishka Yikusom Ramishom Rabbi Shimon Echad Or Beit HaPirosot Beim Adaka Ve'echad Or HaRosh Al Egal Rach Ve'echad Or Shetachat Al Yav V'chol Shemonu Chachom Yuga Bitume Ve'elo Shorotem Ki V'saran La'avi Or Shal Beit HaBoshet Chutz L'mekomo Pasu Ve'en Bo Karet Chutz Zmano Pigu V'chayav En Alav Karet. Now, why stress in Ola? I ask you, Abel Zevach Lo Bishlam L'Ruhuna, obviously, because only the Ola would the Or Ha'aliyah be put on the Mizbeah, because it's Boser, El Rav Chista, my Ayah the Tony Ola, Litnei Zevach on Rav Chista. First of all, we might be talking about Aliyah V'Gedi, and therefore it's only in an Ola that will be put on the Mizbeah. V'Vaitema, Tnei Zevach, you don't like Ola. Pasuvei Makar Binani Milan Mishvot Trei Korei K'tive. Now, what was Shmuel referring to? Omar Rabba, well, Shlishi is Chutzimano, Pigal is Chutzimakomo, Hanevishal Chalab Mimeno, Echad Velo Shlaim, and that's got to be Chutzimano to be Mamai Chutzimakomo. Vima Nevishal Chalab Mimeno is Chutzimakomo, and look to Chutzimano. Ah, it's unreasonable. Mistava Chutzimano Adif, the Potak Bay, Adarabba, Chutzimakomo Adif, the Samakhle. El Omar Rabba, get the reads about Vadima, Omar Rab, Samechadatani Tana, Kishu Omer Shlishi, the Parshat Kadashim to you. Shein tam of Omar, Rekvar Neomar, Ime Ocho Yachel, Mi Vesar Zavach Shalamav, Bayom Bashalishi. Ime no inyan of Kutzizmano, Tneo the inyan of Kutzunekumo, who made Rachman Agabi Notar, Vilk Lava Vonovi Isa, Lamutta Kutzubekomo. Sorry? Ime of Oak Lab, Avonovi Isa, Zdafka Kutzunekomo. Lamutti Notar Mikare. Well, man, it's Mistavra Notar, I will come in Bekare. I mean, because that way we end up with Avon Avon, talking about Chutzah Zmano, where it's very similar. Bizav? Well, on the contrary. Chutzah Kamo, I'm going to look at me Bekaret. Because that way we'd have Ovan Ovan would be teaching us about Chutzah Zmano as opposed to Chutzah Nekomo, which is very reasonable because then it's Domilei B'migdash. Elam, Rabbi Yochanan, Tani, Zavdi, Bar Levi, Atya, Kodesh, Kodesh, Ktivachet, Kodesh, Hashem, Chilel, V'nichrata. And then by notar, it says, Beferish Risarafta, et anotar be'esh lo yeachel ki kodesh. Mala hala notarka notar, mir rachmane gabi notar, vokhlava vanav yisa, lemute chutzubekomo mikaret, and now everything's perfect. Except for my chazit to kra richa, v'chutzizmano, v'shlishi de parashat kedoshim tiyo, it's chutzubekomo, why not do just the opposite? That way we would have Avon Avon coming out to being notar to Chutz Lizmano, which would be Domile in Zman and Boma. Because that's the whole reason we'd want to put it together with notar, no? I mean, since it's Domile, Samche, and now we're going to be Mamayat. Elamar Ava Kulmikra Aricha Atya. Dichti. Hey, Achel, Yachel. The first of all, Bishtechilot, I could do Mendaber. Echadakilat Adam, Echadakilat Mizbeat. Mi Bissar Zavak Shalamav. Why Shalamav? A model. Ma Shalamim, Efaglim, Mit Paglim, Afkom, Efaglim, Umit Paglim. Shalishi, it's Chutzah Zmano. Lo Ye Ratse in the Makrivoto, which means it has to be real Ritzui. Gartzaat Kasher, Kain Artsat Pasul. Maharzaat Kasher Achiakrivu, Komatirav, Avarzat Pasul Achakrivu, Komatirav. And we're talking about the Makriv. The Psul is only in the context of the Akrava, not in the Achila dummy. And it's and not going to be Nifsal, the real Achila of the Shlishi. And therefore, when it's a Makriv, Oto comes to me, we're not talking about the Kohen. We're talking about the Zevach Akatu Medaber, Enu Medaber Bekohen. Lo yechashev, no other chashva, no other conscious issues. So lo yeharev bo machshavot achirot. Pigul has to add now something new, another kind of mechitza violation, chutz l'makomo. Yihyeh, though we're talking about two, they could be mitztarfim ze im ze. And then on nefesh ochelot mimenu, one of the above, which one of the above? Well, now it's obvious, since avon is a key to notar, therefore the only one that it's talking about is the only one that's similar to notar. And that is the Chutzah Zmano, the Domile Bezav. We never thought that Chutzah Makomo is Dome to notar in any way. We were only trying to figure out how Chutzah Makomo is similar to Chutzah Zmano. But now that that's not the issue, we're only left with our good old Zman Boma.